Blog Talk Radio.
It's networking on the radio, the DMV most powerful networking radio show that exists. We give it to you straight talk, no chaser. It's information that's really hard to swallow, but it's good to know. We empower businesses, individuals, products. We bring it to you straight talk. It changes lives. Before we get started with our special guest, talk to you about the black card, the black card. I was told if you said something three times, you can't forget it. The black card, the black card, the black card, the black card, most powerful card in the DMV. Go to www.myblackcardnow.com and get your black card. If you don't have a black card, you're missing out on a treat. We're going to have pop-up black card events throughout the summer. You'll all be able to go and be able to eat, drink, and also enjoy yourself absolutely free. Just show your black card. But also, you'll be able to help other businesses stay afloat. It's all about empowering each other so we can make it in the DMV. On our newsmaker line, the one and only Maddie Green. You're on the line. Go ahead.
Good morning, Russell.
How are you?
I am good. Maddie.
First off, tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Okay, my name is Maddie Green. I am a family child care provider for 18 years. I served as the vice president for SEIU Local 500 Providers Union for 4 years. I've been active as an advocate for child care since 2005. I now sit on the public policy committee for the Merle Estate Family Child Care Association.
Wow, that's serious. I mean, how long have you been doing this?
It'll be 18 years October.
What inspired you and how did you get started?
Well, I started off as a babysitter, and I guess from the things that parents saw me doing with the children, I started getting more referrals and parents coming to me wanting me to care for their child. And there's a program called the Purchase of Care. I was not accepting vouchers, and I learned you had to be registered. That means you had to go through the state, take up classes, be inspected by the fire inspector, and health and health report you had to do. You had to do fingerprinting. You had to take CPR, first aid, SIDS classes, child development classes. It was a list of things that you had to do to get started. And once you did everything and submitted your paperwork to Child Care Administration, then they would come out also and inspect your program, let you know how many children you are able to have, and then you would start from there. You could advertise after that.
So that gives you the legitimacy of actually being able to take vouchers and to be able to get in the program where you can actually help mothers with children. Child care is a serious business. It's very big, isn't it?
It's a very serious business. Let me just say this. For the state of Maryland, we have the strongest, tightest regulations in the nation, in the nation. This has been verified. And it's tough being a provider sometimes because our rules are very, very tight. And I have to honestly say that I am very proud of the family child care providers in the state of Maryland because we have the lowest rate as far as incidents and infant death and accidents that happen. We're at 1%. It should be zero, but we're at 1%, and no other agency that deals with children as far as child care has that low, very low percentage.
So could anybody just take, do they still have this babysitting people with no license, no nothing, taking children in their home? Do they still have that exist?
It exists, but there are there is a law out that if you get caught providing babysitting services for more than, I think it's 2 days a week or something like that for a child, they will try to encourage you to become registered. Centers are licensed family child care providers like myself. We're registered. And they'll give you the opportunity to do that. But if you continue to do the babysitting consistently as a provider would do it Monday through Friday for more than so many hours a week, they will find you. You won't know that they're watching. Even the fire marshal can come out, watch, knock on your door, and come in to see what you're doing. So it is against the law for you to do that. In the state of Maryland.
That's interesting. See, people don't really know that, you know what I mean? They haven't got an idea that it's against the law because so many people do still, I guess they still do it. I mean, they don't have an idea, I guess, that that's against the law because people still drop off their kids. They still dump up their kids at different people's houses and have babysittings, but then if something was to happen, you're not covered. I think there was a case not too long ago where some children got hurt or whatever, and they were not licensed, and that causes more problems, correct?
It causes more problems for the individual. Now, the difference is if you're just the babysitter and you're working like I'm working Monday through Friday, you know, 8, 9, 10 hours a day, and the parent know you're just a babysitter because all they have to do is ask. And they generally use the babysitters because the babysitters don't charge as much. But you do have some that will have a setup like a regular provider's program and do things with the children, but they are not registered. But if something was to happen in that person's home, the parents don't have a whole lot of recourse. With a family child care, you have CPS. Of course, you have the police and child care administration will step in. During their investigation, they shut you down.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a lot to lose. We can be imprisoned. We can lose our life, our registration, thus lose our business and our job. And we can also be, clocked as someone that can no longer work around children. We have a lot to lose. They do too, but if you're with the union, depending on what the situation was, you may have the union to back you up. If whatever happened, that they can clear you, but if you're wrong, the union can't help you.
Excellent.
So being
Excellent.
Just a babysitter, you really don't have any backing, and plus a lot of us, the majority of we also carry insurance. That if something happens to a child, they trip and fall on something that we should have fixed or done, or it was just some freak accident, we have insurance to cover that. For the providers that transport children to and from school, they're supposed to have an added insurance to cover the children, and most insurance companies do not cover that. You have to get a different type of insurance to cover those children.
Excellent. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we want you to talk about what it entails for child care. How important is it to have a child care, and do you have schooling? Is there meals included? We're going to come back on our newsmaker line, one and only Maddie Green. This is the Russell Price Morning Show. It's all about you.
Looks like a girl, but she's a slave.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Russell Price Morning Show. It's all about you. On our newsmaker line, Maddie Green, it's all about child care. People realize how important child care is. If you have a child, how can you go to work? How can you do your job? How can you leave your child with someone that you trust? Most women, in some case, have a mother or they have a cousin or aunt or somebody they trust the child to. But suppose you don't have that, then you're going to have to use what they call child care, a nursery. And it's very expensive. Tell us, Maddie, about what it entails. Do you get meals? Do you get schooling? Do you have the play mat? Do you go outside and playground? What do you do? What does the child care entail?
Well, because we are independent owners of our own business and contractors, each provider will have their own schedule, their own policies, their own contracts. And I'll say to any parent, when you go into a child care home or even a center, do not put your child in there without a policy contract and a contract for the money, fees, and things like that. The average family child care provider will provide meals, which would consist of breakfast. Some will do a morning snack, lunch. Some will do an afternoon snack. You have to talk with that provider to find out what all she offers as far as meals are concerned. But we offer care for infants from 6 weeks to 12 years of age. Depending on the child's age will depend on what it is that provider will offer for that child. Generally, we have to have a place for children to sleep. We have to serve at least one meal. We don't have to do all, but again, that's the discretion of the provider, how she wants to work her individualized business. There's a lot of classes that we have to take consistently every year. Along with, there's the SIDS class. I mentioned the CPR first aid. The CPR first aid class has to be done every 2 years. There's professionalism, curriculum, special needs classes, child development, and I know I'm missing something, but someone will tell me what it is. But every year, and we have inspections once a year. We'll have an unannounced inspection once a year, meaning our specialist from Child Care Administration has the legal right to come by any time within that year, and you have to allow them to come in to inspect your place. It's not the big inspection. The big inspection, which we call it, is our anniversary inspection, where medical forms have to be done for everyone in the house. Everyone 18 and over have to have fingerprints. That's even when you start. That has to be updated. They just changed the rules on that. Now we have to have federal fingerprints done. They have to make sure we have our 12 hours for that particular year. First aid CPR has to be updated if it hasn't expired. When you're dealing with a family child care provider, parents have to understand this is our home that you're coming into. Most providers, they have a separate spot or area for their child care program. But some will have child care in their living rooms, dining rooms, a family room, or whatever, and it's legally legit for them to do that because it's supposed to be a family setting. However, when you're a parent going out looking for child care, you need to know what you're looking for. Ask questions, you know, but don't go looking for child care for what you want. Go looking for what's needed for the child. What meals do you prepare for the child? What type of outdoor, indoor activities do you have for the child? Even with infants to me are easy because they eat, they sleep, they poop, and they urine, and they look around, but they need what we call tummy time. We have to put them on the floor. I actually had a parent that did not want her infant on the floor, and I had to let her know, I can't do that because it's part of my regulations, and it's part of what I say happens in my program, because infants, that's how they learn to walk, crawl, get the strength to stand up, you know, build the muscles in their necks and things like that. We can't have them sitting in pack and plays or cribbies all day long, and we definitely, definitely cannot hold your child all day. We had to take medication administration classes to know how to administer medication. No child really should be in our care where a provider has to give medication more than once a day. And sometimes we have to teach the parent because the parent will say, well, they take it three times a day. I gave it to them at 7, and they need it again at 12 or something like that, and then give them the next dose before I pick them up. That's not three times a day. There's 24 hours in the day. So we have to kind of teach the parents how to do that. You want to find a place, if you have a two-year-old and up, where there are activities, there should be a schedule posted. The schedule can change. For me, I go by how the children are feeling when they come in. If they're like blah, and I see that they're a little tired or maybe not feeling well for some reason, I kind of let the children dictate to me what they want to do that day. I do not force any type of learning, any type of play or anything on them. I sit back, I monitor them. I may talk to them to find out what's going on with them or whatever, but there should be a schedule. We do basics. The average family child care provider will do basics. You will walk in, you will see the letters, the colors, the numbers, the shapes, and things like that, maybe worksheets, manipulables, things for the children to work on their cognitive developmental skills. We basically monitor the developmental skills. When it's an infant, are they hearing properly? Are they teething? When it's time, they should be showing signs of crawling, sitting up, starting to walk, starting to talk, things like that. Some of us, we would take notes if the child, it's normal for a child to be behind maybe a month or something like that, and it's not much to worry about. Even with two-year-olds, three, how they're speaking, the words, how many words do they know, but it's basic things. They're basic things that we go through with the children, and it also helps because the children aren't sitting there just being idled or watching television and just running around. Things like that.
Excellent, excellent. Now, it's very expensive. We're going to take our last break when we come back with the closing statements and also how to get in touch with you. But I want you to let people know, do you have to do a weekly schedule, a monthly schedule, 6 months at a time? Can you just bring them by for one day? We're on the Newsmaker Line with the one and only Maddie Green. It's all about child care. We'll be right back with the closing statements and how to get in touch with her. She's a child care provider. She is excellent at what she does. Maddie, tell us how to get in touch with you and how often can a child be dropped off? Do you have to have a certain amount of days, or can they do one day? Can they do 6 months? Can they have to have some kind of contract as far as, could they just pop up out the clear blue and drop a child off? What is the procedure?
Okay. When you bring a child in, the parent would normally tell the provider the hours that they work. Most parents are Monday through Friday. However, there's a section, what we call drop-off, meaning you don't need care every day and every week. You may need to just drop the child off 2 days a week, 1 day a week. Now, the provider don't have to do drop-in children, but if they do, it's generally under stipulation that once a full-time child comes in, then I have to let your child go. And they would do that, and they should be upfront with the parent with that. When you're dealing with vouchers, we have what they call traditional hours, which starts at 7:01 a.m. to 7 p.m. And then there are non-traditional hours, which start at 7:01 p.m., that goes to 7 a.m. Not many providers do those hours. I, however, work from 5:30, or I can work from 5:30 a.m. to 12 o'clock midnight. But parents have to understand, once you cross that threshold of 7 o'clock, the prices can go up. Now, you said something before you went off. Is it expensive? For me, for the rate that I charge, for me to make minimum wage at $175 an hour, I have to have at least 3 full-time children that I'm playing with, teaching, reading to, giving them music, paying for classes, paying for food, paying for supplies and materials that this money has to cover, utility bills, the roof over the head, so I would have a place for them. It's not as expensive as people believe it is, and it's not as expensive as some agency just put out to say that the average is $13,000 a year. That's not the average for an infant per year. It probably is for a center, like a government center or something like that, but the average for an infant and family child care is not $13,000. It can be anywhere from $7,000 to maybe $10,000, depending on the area that you live in or the area where the provider is located. And I can be reached at 301-420-1806. And I like to encourage the parents, Russell, to go on Maryland State Department of Education website, click on Early Education Child Development link, and it's going to open up another link for child care. There's a link for providers. There's a link for parents. And they can find a lot of information on that link. And if I would like to ask Russell, if we can do another segment, because I really would like to explain how the voucher system works, because a lot of parents do not understand.
We're going to definitely have you back on, and we're also going to have you on a Facebook Live broadcast. We want to make sure that people get the information, but, oh, yeah, this is just a matter of fact. How does the voucher work is very important. So if you could touch on that right now, just give a little bit of, just a little bit of that right now.
Okay, with the vouchers, is the way it works is they go by the number of people in your household plus the income that you make. And you apply, you can go online. You have to go online to get the applications. You go online, you fill them out. You send in the documentation that's required, usually pay stubs, 2 to 4, depending on how often you're paid, a copy of Social Security card, birth certificates of the children. Once you send that in, they will process the application and let you know whether or not you qualify. If you can get the scale of where your income level is, you will qualify. Generally, you will qualify. But it doesn't tell you what you're going to be qualified for. I do have something, but it's a little complicated to explain over the phone, that will tell you how much you will qualify for. So once the parent qualifies for the voucher and receives the voucher, she then takes the voucher to the designated provider that she has chosen for her child or children to attend. And then the parent, all she does is sign the vouchers. They have 3 vouchers for each child. If the parent works a schedule, say, from 2 to 9, the parent needs to get traditional and non-traditional hours, and she would need to find a provider that will work up to those hours that she needs. Once she finds the provider, she signs the vouchers, and then the provider has to implement all the other information, our name, our address, our EIN number, what is our status as far as our registration is, and we have to check off something. We have to input our rate, and then we give a copy to the parent. A copy stays with us, and most providers will themselves send the CCS straight to Baltimore and via fax or email to make sure that they get it. Once that process has happened, every 2 weeks we get what they call an invoice. That's how we get paid. Parents have nothing to do with that part. We just sign it, date it, and send it back. The sooner we send it in, the sooner we receive our payment. And the parent usually have a copay that the state and the government requires them to pay. But we can get in that another story another time.
Give us your number again, Bobby, before we close out. Give us how to contact you and let them know how to get in touch with you. What's your number? And
My number is 301-420-1806, and I am more than willing to answer any questions or find the answer to any question that a parent or a future parent may have about child care.
This has been an excellent opportunity. It's an honor and a pleasure to have you on Newsmaker Line. This is the Russell Price Morning Show. Tune in every morning from 10 to 10:30. It's a special show because it spotlights special people. We'll be right back tomorrow morning.